Sean, you're older than some of your coaches. Help me understand what's going on with that, my friend.
Hey, you're killing me. You're killing me. I'm trying to stay young. I'm trying to keep up with the times, and you're putting that bad juju out, man. I'm 23. I'm trying to act like I'm 18, but it's all good. It's all good.
Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, July 26th edition of Always College Football. We hope you're enjoying the podcast wherever it is you're consuming it, whether that's on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or here with us on the ESPN YouTube channel. I'm Greg McElroy. Along with me, as always, Mark Kubiak, who just gave birth to his second son, by the way. Kubes, we're not going to get into the details right now. We'll get to that at a later date, but we're very proud of you, and we're glad that you're back after a four-day paternity leave. That was pretty impressive. That's one for the record books. We have a great game plan for you today as Big Ten Media Days will officially get underway. We'll talk about Kevin Warren and his reaction to the unionizing of college football players. We also have a great conversation with Sean Clifford. He's the sixth-year quarterback for Penn State. And in full transparency, we talked to him a couple weeks ago and we tried to revisit our conversation with him, and he said, look, I'm going to politely pass because he cannot at this point talk about the potential union coming out of Penn State. We will ask him about his limitless NIL and what he has planned for his final season. So we look forward to all those things, but first, let's talk about it. The Big Ten Media Days got underway today, and Commissioner Kevin Warren, he took to the mic addressing the recent changes and the broader changes coming to college football.
We are on a perpetual state of evaluating what's next for college athletics, what's next for the Big Ten Conference, what's next for college football playoff, what's next for the NCAA, what's next for the Transformation Committee, and what's next for the future of how we operate in this environment called college athletics, our bowls, our partnerships. And I'm a big believer that the reason why we are dealing with a lot of issues that we're dealing with today is because the business of college athletics has grown faster than the structure and the governance of college athletics. So while the dollars are important to our member institutions, but it's really about the platform to provide financial stability to our member institutions so we can provide excellent health care, mental health services, life skills programs, and even educational experiences to our student athletes.
A lot to digest there from Kevin Warren, but I wanted to focus just a little bit on the hot topic of today. That's unionization within college football. Look, it's long been a hot topic of discussion, not just amongst the current players, but also amongst the former players. I think the players need to be really careful. And it's a very painful topic to address because there is a certain reality there, is that as a college football player, you are replaceable. Now, I've seen Heisman Trophy winners graduate from whatever school it was that they went to, and then went back the following September only to see that same school have a stadium full in an effort to support that school. Now, sure, there are certainly players that are exclusively worth the price of admission. I mean, Johnny Manziel comes to mind, Cam Newton, Derrick Henry, the list goes on and on. But ultimately, the love for college football, it resides not in the player that wears the uniform, but in the uniform itself. Not to say when Marcus Mariota graduated in 2014, you go back in September and you see Autzen Stadium's completely full. Of course, they miss Marcus and they'll always appreciate the time that he spent in Eugene, Oregon. But ultimately, even the greatest players at some schools are replaceable. Look, most self-described, this is self-described, this is not me, self-described diehard college football fans would have a difficult time naming 10 college football players. That's right. It's not that I've done the study, but I've had the conversations with players and with coaches and with teams and with fans, had those discussions for the better part of the last 9 years since I've been in this industry. And I don't think that many people can name 10 players that aren't on their specific team. So I'll help you out right now. I'm sure your list probably is something of the following: CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Anderson. Maybe there's a few more that I'm missing right now, but you can't go that much further when you name people and players that don't play for your specific team. Look, I'm all for the players trying to get their fair share, but you need to be careful not to cut off your nose to spite your face. A lot of people have proposed, well, what if the players don't just, what if they just don't show up for a big game? What if they don't want to play? And they say, well, we're going to hold your feet to the fire and we're just not going to play. Well, the answer is they'd lose their scholarship immediately and now they would lose their NIL. And I can tell you, look, if I backed up John Parker Wilson for 3 years from 2006, 2007, 2008, if John Parker Wilson said, I'm not playing, guess what I'm going to do? All right, I'll play, coach, in a heartbeat. And I think a lot of people need to understand that while the NFL has had success collectively bargaining, there's no denying that. There's 1,600 players that make up the NFL Players Association. Well, if you take 85 scholarships times 130 FBS schools, that's 11,000 players. And every single player in college football has a little bit different socioeconomic status. Not like the NFL, where a vast majority of the guys can live from one season to the next without being concerned about where the next paycheck is coming from. Look, college football players aren't as secure as the NFL players. That's why I think collectively bargaining and unionizing across the entire landscape would be incredibly difficult. Look, if you want to push as a player for expanded medical coverage, I 100% support you. I think all former players would support you. That way you have at least the blanket of medical coverage taken care of if in fact future injuries arise. But if you think for whatever reason that you're bigger than your individual school, I think you're wrong. And if you think that you're going to get some type of revenue sharing in a collective bargaining environment, I think you're totally wrong, because that's going to require crazy leverage and there isn't a single player that's bigger than their respective school. So I'll finish with this, and this message is to the players. You do you. I will always support the players, but be careful what you wish for.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome in sixth-year senior Sean Clifford. He's the quarterback for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Sean, you're older than some of your coaches. Help me understand what's going on with that, my friend.
Hey, you're killing me. You're killing me. I'm trying to stay young. I'm trying to keep up with the times, and you're putting that bad juju out, man. I'm 23. I'm trying to act like I'm 18, but it's all good. It's all good.
Well, you can always have that 18-year-old moment, but hey, Brady's proven that you can do it deep into your 40s. So like, if there's anything that we've learned is that time ain't nothing but a number. Age ain't nothing but a number. Like, you're in good shape, brother. So it's great stuff. We know that you had an injury last year and that really affected you down the stretch. We never really heard the details or the specifics of that injury, but we've seen you wince and we saw you grab towards your hip. What was going on last year that kind of hurt your consistency as you went throughout the second half of the season?
Yeah, so I had an injury against Iowa. It was brutal. I mean, we were having a great game, and I just wish that I could have finished it off strong with my team. Had an injury that put me out to the rib area. And it definitely set me back. We had a bye week after that, but you know, it's tough as a quarterback, when you're dealing with an injury like that, to come back, strong. It was really hard. I fought through a lot of pain to get through a couple of those games. But you know, that's the name of the game. Availability is the best ability. You know that. And it's one of those things where it's just taking care of your body day in, day out, eating right, making sure that, you're giving everything you got, especially for me in my last season. There's nothing that, you know, I want more than to be successful for this team. And then moving forward as well for this Penn State Nation. So I think that, you know, it's I'm excited. I'm excited moving into my last year. It is my last year. I think that 6 years is just enough. So it's time to make something shake.
Well, obviously, we hear now more than ever the sixth-year senior, the fifth-year junior, the third-year freshman. I mean, we hear that now. But knowing that what you guys went through in the Big Ten specifically, I mean, it was a challenge. The COVID year was remarkably difficult. But knowing that you had to go through that challenge and now have been rewarded with an additional year of eligibility and an additional year to pursue a second degree, I mean, you name it, you can do it now because of that extra time. So when you first found out that you'd be given that sixth year, did you kind of already know at that point, hey, yeah, I'm probably going to take advantage of that?
I didn't. When that first year conversation came out, it was more so, okay, there's the safety net. You know, it's exciting that we get that, but obviously, you know, I want to have a good enough year to leave and be a guy in the league and move on, because I love Penn State and everything about it, but 5 years in college football, those college football workouts, that college football grind, the Big Ten schedule, it gets you. But I've enjoyed my time at Penn State, significantly. So I'm happy to be back. But to answer your question, no, I didn't really think it wasn't in my mind to be here. I wasn't trying to focus on, the six-year mentality. I wanted to make sure that I was putting all my eggs in the same basket of a fifth-year final ride. And then, the season was going really well. I felt really good about, where our team was heading, where I was headed. And then obviously against Iowa, that put a little bit, it just took it back a little bit. And now I'm fighting every inch for this team, for myself. But at the same time, I know the talent that we have. I'm really excited about the season. I know what I can do and what this offense, this defense, the coaching staff, we're all hungry. So it's just focusing day in, day out. It's a one-day mentality and taking every day like it's our last. And that's been my mentality. So I've been excited.
Well, you mentioned loving the offense and loving, I would imagine, within that offense and that personnel, your offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich, now working with him for the second year. How much does that benefit you now, having gone through a season with that offense and now heading into year number two, maybe with your comfort level and the communication that you'll have with the rest of your offensive teammates?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. I have not had a second year in the system at Penn State. We had a new OC after my first year starting, new OC after my second year starting. So it just kept on going. And now having Coach Yurcich back, this is my fourth year going in. And having him back has been so significant, just from going into mastery over learning the offense, not learning what the terminology is, knowing what the terminology is, like it's the back of my hand, and then being able to execute at a higher level, talk the language, make the checks, having more him have more trust in me as a six-year guy, which I should be able to do, be able to really control the reins and just fully dive into, the quarterback position at Penn State, which needs to be somebody who can make the checks at the line without looking back to the sideline, being able to know the game plan inside and out. And just, it's been tough. I get to that point near, the midway part of the season toward the end, but then, we've had a different OC the next year. So being able to be in that same system, I'm so excited. We have a great schedule that I'm juiced to get into as well, and there's just so much opportunity. I'm blessed to be in the position that I am. Really excited about it, and like I said, Coach Yurcich is a big part of that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I love that offense. I think that outside zone stuff that he does is really tough, puts a lot of strain on the defense. So I think it's going to be a good fit for y'all heading into this year. I want to go back to your recruitment quickly because I know you're from Cincinnati. One, we'll get to the best Cincinnati foods because I think La Rosa's is painfully underrated. And everybody talks about the chili and all this stuff, but La Rosa's to me is an underrated gem. We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm just curious, as a kid that went to school in high school at St. X, right down the road from Columbus, seeing the success that Ohio State's had, knowing that you grew up just right down the road in the shadows of the Ohio State program to get the opportunity to play them every year. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like. I'm from Texas, went to Alabama. There was no bad blood at that time. Now there is, but not anymore. Right, you know, there once not back in the day. So I almost went completely AWOL. You have to coexist with the success that Ohio State's had. So what's that like as an Ohio kid playing for a rival against a school that you probably at some point or another maybe grew up rooting for?
Yeah. Across the Big Ten, you see deep, deep love for the community and the team that you've been a part of. For me, I was born actually in Barrington, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. A lot of my family's from Chicago, the Illinois area. And then we moved to Cincinnati when I was young. So I didn't, my family wasn't developed Ohio State fans, but, living in Cincinnati, I learned what that meant, obviously. So that it didn't really affect my recruitment. It didn't really affect, my thought process because I wasn't a true, Cincinnati affiliate straight to Ohio State type guy. But, I it's the same as Penn State. Penn State has, if you grow up in Pennsylvania, you know where you're going. and that's Penn State, if you're smart. But at the same time, I think that it's really, it's been a humbling and blessing to be able to play on big stages in general. When you click on the Penn State Ohio State game, everybody's talking about it. And that's what I live for. When I was growing up, I was looking at quarterbacks like yourself, just wishing to be in those big games with all the lights on and playing in front of millions of people. And to be able to do that now with a school that I love so much and have so much, passion and drive for with teammates that I love in addition, it makes Saturday so much more special than I could have ever dreamed of when I was just, a 10-year-old watching TV.
There's nothing better, man, than especially you put on that old school uniform, you run out there on the field in front of 100,000 people, and it's just like it's always been, man. There's nothing quite like that. You've been given an amazing platform at Penn State, and now you're using that platform by launching your own NIL company. It's Limitless. You're the CEO. Your brother, by the way, is also on staff. Does he have a short leash, by the way? Does Liam have a short leash with you being the CEO?
Oh no, he's got he runs my day sometimes. He tells me what to do. So it's been so much fun. It was just a concept before. It was one of those things where the minute that I did know I was coming back, I knew I wanted to do something bigger than myself when it came to NIL space, being able to help athletes across the country, and just being able to establish so much relationships over the past 5 years. I knew that I had the network to be able to do it. And I've just seen so much love, support from Penn State, in addition to, other college athletes across the country, being able to say, hey, this guy is trying to do something for the players, by a player, and truly, make a difference. Because that's the one thing that I've seen is player representation is lacking sometimes. And that's why we haven't had an NIL before, I feel like. We really haven't been able to join together and speak out against certain things. I'm sure that you would have loved to have NIL in your day. You could have converted some serious cash with your teammates as well. But it's one of those things where I just want to be able to be a beacon of hope and somebody who can speak out on issues when it comes to NIL, because I'm in those conversations with the highest highest people. So it's not just the 40-year-old's talking. You got a 23-year-old representative right here at State College, Pennsylvania. So,
but what is it? Because you're a quarterback, and obviously the demands on your time are significant. I mean, I'm sure you're probably up at the facility 40, 45 hours a week at the minimum. in the time that you're there during the season, at the minimum. I mean, that's just getting started. That's before you get to game weekend and travel and all the other stuff in addition to that, plus classwork. So how are you able to balance everything that's required of you as the starting quarterback at Penn State and the CEO of an NIL company in which you are literally hands-on with some of the money that some of your teammates might even be able to receive?
Yeah. No, it's been a lot of fun, to be honest with you. You know, my brain works in a different way. Sometimes, you know, I like to start the day by working on Limitless, attacking it in that way. It gets the brain going, it gets my mind going, and then when I hit the facility, it's all football. So in the summer, it's been really helpful. You know, I've allocated, you know, 4 or 5 hours in the morning to Limitless, working with the team, and then the minute that I flip the script and I go to the facility, it's all football for 5-6 hours. So, you know, I'm putting in, you know, summer grind, you know how it is. You get to take a little bit more of a step back, you know, so I'm putting in about 25, 30 hours a week in the facility for the team in the summer. But yeah, 100%. When we get in the season, we actually, you know, we're in the hiring process of a president, be able to run it on a full capable without me, day to day, and just developing infrastructure. And the biggest thing that I've learned is the educational piece has been so valuable to me. I want to be a young entrepreneur. That's my goal. I want to do entrepreneurship. I just love everything that comes about it. Just being able to create opportunities for other people to get involved with. It's just so cool. And especially through the avenue of sport, it's what I want to do for the rest of my life. After football, post football, and also now, as you can tell, during football, just because that's how my mind goes. I like to work long days and put in a lot of effort and time into things that I'm passionate about. Obviously, football is my first passion, and that's the number one thing. But you know, Limitless also is now a huge passion of mine too, and being able to support other athletes in many different ways, whether it be financially, mentorship, talent representation, branding, storytelling, whatever, you name it, we got it. And it's just been exciting to be a part of it.
You know, it's funny because you referenced the educational aspect. There's a lot of benefits to this. And we could talk about, hey, guys are making too much, or, you know, and you shouldn't be recruited based on NIL and stuff. I get that. Those are conversations that we'll have a million times and we'll continue to forever. But what I think is there's a real value to the education. I remember getting my first ever paycheck from the New York Jets and looking at my signing bonus and seeing it cut in half and trying to figure out what the heck happened. Where'd it go? I know that taxes exist, but not to this extreme. How have you helped? And I know that you are real proud of this, but you guys have a team that is actually working with your athletes to help educate them with just financial planning for the most part. So Is that an additional benefit that you will continue to provide? And how has that, you know, helped some of the guys that you've signed up so far?
Absolutely. I mean, we partnered with Beacon Point at a very early stage. My buddy, Matt Bockhorst, who played at Clemson. He was a captain at Clemson, a national champion. We partnered up with Beacon Point to be able to provide that financial literacy education piece. And now what they bring to the table, you know, normally a lot of us, including myself, couldn't get in with a Beacon Point. You know, you have to have at least $500,000 of investable assets to be able to even join up with or get in the door to talk to Beacon Point. But they see the value of student athletes. They see the value of what we're doing. So they dropped that minimum down to $0 for our athletes. So all of our athletes are getting, you know, if they want private wealth management at the highest level, you know, from the jump. And in addition to that, you know, that's our first pillar, being able to provide that. And then the talent representation, vowing for brand deals, just like any other agency, but then putting a twist on it where we're really, truly building their content. We have a peer advisor program that's ran through with other students. That's kind of how my brand was built. I was actually with a student in class back in 2019. Inklings of NIL was coming out, and you know, my entrepreneurship brain went right to, you know, let me create something with somebody else. So Trevor Robinson, who works full time with my company now, him and I created the Sean Clifford brand, completely different than what it is today. But you know, back then we were thinking about the future. And it's just been cool to see it develop. Just so many different avenues, so many different partnerships, so many different people getting involved. I think it's just the beginning. I think NIL is, it truly is just the beginning of NIL. And I think that if it's good, done correctly, and that's why I'm happy that I'm here in this position to be able to support student athletes, if done correctly with player representation, I think that it can be super beneficial for the future.
Well, I've talked with a bunch of people that have launched similar things to you, none of which are current players, which is what I think makes your model really special, because you're living it. You have a certain level of credibility when you go talk to these guys, young guys especially, and I think that's a wonderful thing to have had that experience. But you talk to some of the guys that are running companies similar to yours, I feel like we're getting inflated numbers. I feel like we're getting false representation of what guys are really making. You hear these numbers, oh, $15 million for this collective, which is getting distributed to just the recruiting class. Like, give us some transparency. Like, what are guys actually making? What are you capable of making? Say if you're a Division I quarterback, you know, what's the earning potential versus say your left guard who might not be quite capable of making as much?
Yeah, I think that that's the special thing about NIL is it truly brings out the entrepreneur in everybody. So you really are able to make as much as time you put into it. So what we're seeing right now is the more time you put into your name, image, and likeness, the more return of investment that you're going to get. And it doesn't matter if you're the starting quarterback at Penn State, if you have nothing to promote something, because that's the, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, people just dishing out money to players. It's going to get chopped down. It's not going to work in the future. But the good thing is, you know, we're focusing on the right way to do it. Offering up deliverables of what these athletes can bring to these companies, having companies, you know, see return on investment, and having our athletes getting connected with really, really well-known and attributable brands that can help them in the future when they go professional or are looking for a job even. So that's the biggest thing with NIL. I think that all the, like you said, Greg, the numbers are so inflated, but the thing is that it's all going to even out pretty soon. I think that that's going to happen. And I think that it's kind of necessary because you're right. There is definitely a problem on the evening, the playing field in some sort of the way. But truly I do see, you're right. The inflated numbers are there 100%, but it's focusing on the story. It's focusing on the content that's the big part of NIL.
I think I just don't like when people think that, oh, well, the backup running back from fill-in-the-blank university is transferring to this school because they're getting paid $1 million. No, they're not. I can tell you they're not. I think it's closer to, you know, what we speculated prior to NIL starting. We speculated, hey, maybe some guys will make 5-10 grand. You know, quarterbacks probably earning potential into the six figures, depending on what school you play for. But for the most part, most guys are making not life-changing money, but good, solid money that can be used, whether it be in day-to-day life, or they can help their family out, what have you. But for the most part, I mean, guys are more towards the $5,000 to $10,000 to $20,000 to $15,000, $25,000 range, not the millions that you're hearing about in some other places, correct?
Yes, 100%. And that's the thing that we're dealing with. And I think that a lot of people forget. You're not dealing with a 25-year-old with a full-time contract that's in the pros.
Yeah.
You're dealing with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids who are just coming into some money, and they're saying, oh, I got 10 grand. I can now go and buy something.
Right.
What happens when Uncle Sam comes down in April and nobody has any idea what to do? There's going to be a lot of issues when it comes down to that. But the good thing is that with Limitless, and yeah, I'm doing a little promotion right now, we're taking care of that. We're making sure that our athletes are running through compliance. They're running through the state laws. We're going through, you know, a bunch of consulting to be able to help them on a day-to-day aspect with our peer advisors, and just growing it very, very naturally. And as the deals come, the deals come. And we're bringing in, you know, numerous brands to be able to work with big budgets in the future. But at the same time, it's all about what can you deliver to the brand and how can you build that content naturally through your story? Because that's what really matters. You know,
yeah.
I'm not the old days of you holding up a Dunkin' Donuts cup and saying, I support Dunkin'. I don't think that's the way to go anymore. I think that showing it through the day-to-day actions and developing that content is huge.
Yeah, I think that that's great. If you want to learn more about Limitless, go to limitlessnil.com. I think what you guys are doing is fantastic. I'm proud of you. I think it's awesome. And I think it's great that you have some of your teammates on board. Finally, I'll get you out of here with this. Where do you see this going? You referenced the fact that some of the numbers are inflated. I think a lot of them are very inaccurate. There's a lot of misinformation out there about how much is actually trading hands. But say we fast forward 5 years from now and it's 2027, I would imagine you'll probably still be in the game, in the NIL game for sure, if you like it as much as it sounds like you do. Where do you think we're going? Are we getting to a point where we collectively bargain? Are we getting to a point where, you know, guys go straight pro out of high school? I mean, what's coming?
That's the interesting part about NIL right now. If anybody said they know exactly where we're going, they're lying. But the good thing is we have player representation now. Myself, other athletes across the country, I'm seeing, you know, numerous people in my direct messages saying, hey, how do I help? How can I support to be able to really move this ecosystem forward? Because the main thing is we need to make sure that we're not having other people speak for us. We're speaking for ourselves. And when we do that, we're going to make big changes that are going to be beneficial for not only, you know, a couple guys, couple girls. We're going to make big changes for everybody. And that's the key to this game. And I think that, you know, the NFL professional models of group licensing, like you said, there's definitely ways to do that. And I think that, you know, everything is on the table from a marketing standpoint. And that's what's so exciting for me. I would encourage everybody, follow Limitless on Instagram, Twitter. There's a lot of different things coming your way. Some big partnerships coming our way as well, in addition to expanding to not only Penn State, but other schools across the country. So I'm really excited moving forward.
No, that's great, man. At Limitless NIL on Twitter, on all the social medias, you can follow Sean at SeanCliff14. And I'm sure you can find out a lot of more information about Limitless through his social media profile. Sean, can't tell you how much we appreciate your time, man. Best of luck. And I hope you have a great year for the Nittany Lions. We're pulling for you guys this year, man.
I really appreciate it, Greg. Thank you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What a great conversation with Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford. Really anxious to see what they can be this year now that he's fully healthy. As we talked about in the interview, he just wasn't the same guy down the stretch. And as a result, Penn State looked somewhat unrecognizable there in the final weeks of the regular season. Will they get back on track this year? We'll have to discuss that in future episodes. We look forward to continuing to break down some of the rosters throughout the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West for that matter. We'll dive deep into the rosters, the schedules, and make some predictions here in the days and weeks to come. It was great talking about some of the bigger picture topics on today's show, but hey, we're all excited for the games. We'll start breaking them down here very, very soon. Thanks for being with us. Always like, rate, and subscribe. It helps the show. Hit us up in the comments on the ESPN YouTube channel. That really helps us. Let's interact. Let's hear where you think we can improve. You can also hit us up via email. That's always collegefootball@gmail.com and on Instagram and Twitter at @alwayscfb. For all of us here at Always College Football, for Mark Kubiak, I'm Greg McElroy. We really appreciate you being with us. And remember, it's always college football. Hey guys, it's Greg McElroy. Thanks for watching Always College Football. Make sure you like, rate, and subscribe to ESPN's YouTube channel and wherever you listen to your podcasts.